Iran is now leaving the Houthis in Yemen. They're evacuating and heading back to Iran. The USS Truman has now been joined by the USS Vinson. Two aircraft carrier battle groups are now operating in the Middle East against the Houthis. And it's also been confirmed that five B-2 bombers are now deployed in Dago Garcia. U.S. CENTCOM commander here in the United States is now visiting Israel, conferring with the IDF chief of staff for the next steps to happen in the Middle East, and an update on the IDF tactics in Gaza. Messianic World Update begins now. Shalom, everyone. I'm Monty Judah with Lion and Lamb Ministries. Welcome to another edition of Messianic World Update. Today's date is Friday, April 4th of the year 2025, and here's the news for the week. Finally, some good news coming from Yemen. Iran is now evacuating. They're pulling their military personnel out of Yemen, and they're going to leave the Houthi proxy alone, not supplying them anymore. The U.S. campaign of bombing them into submission is finally working, and Iran does not want to lose military personnel there to that fight, because there's no way that the Houthis are going to win or survive what's going on. Clearly, the U.S. bombing campaign has taken its toll on the Houthi rebels. They've taken out their air bases, their port facilities, their storage facilities, and even hit their barracks where their troops are at. And while there's still a few errant missiles flying out of it, the last of the remnant is being taken care of. I think Iran realizes at this point the next set of targets will be Iranian military advisors, and they better get them out of there before that happens. As a result, quite honestly, Iran is way more concerned about what's getting ready to come to Iran. As I shared with you in previous weeks, it was very clear the U.S. administration was using the attack on the Houthis as a forewarning to Iran as to what could happen to them. And in a matter of a few short weeks, that one aircraft carrier battle group has now taken its toll on it. However, that one aircraft carrier battle group has been extended now and has been joined by another one, the USS Vinson, out of the East Coast. So now there is two carrier battle groups that are in that area, which is not that far from Iran, including many surface ships. I'm not going to give you the number, but it's in excess of several dozen surface ships, all of which carry air defense capability and Tomahawk cruise missiles and other weapon systems. The U.S. has a choice of many weapons now in the Middle East in dealing with Iran. The key objectives, of course, with the U.S. in dealing with the Houthis is to get the Houthis from stop shooting missiles at Israel and stop harassing shipping that's going through the Red Sea, the Gulf of Aden. I'm pretty certain that here very shortly you'll hear a surrender announcement on the part of the Houthis and a pledge on their part to cease their military offensive operations, and the U.S. will probably then stop the bombing campaign. It's just a matter of days at this point. Going along with bringing the new aircraft carrier battle groups into the range, we had heard a rumor, and it turned out to be more than a rumor, about a major buildup of strategic weapons in the Middle East. And it's now confirmed that we know for certain that five B-2 bombers have now been dispatched to Dago Garcia. This is a small island in the Indian Ocean. It puts those aircraft in a position where they can run operations and sorties out of that base and return to that base in short order, puts them closer into the area, and can set up Dago Garcia as a command center for all of CENTCOM to deal with the Middle East. I would remind everybody that the B-2 bomber is the frontline, most strategic, most powerful weapon system that the U.S. Air Force has besides intercontinental ballistic missiles. One B-2 bomber with its stealth capability can go in on one mission and wreck a nation. They have five of them over there. Not only do they have that aircraft that they carry, but it also has an ammo load, not only of 40,000 pounds of weapons and a whole assortment of weapons that they can launch, but it's the one aircraft that can carry precision bunker busters. in particular. We have one weapon in our inventory, which is called a MOAB, a mother of all bombs, a penetrator bomb. And this particular bomb has the ability to penetrate 60 meters into reinforced concrete. That means it gets dropped and it goes 200 feet into a reinforced facility before it goes off. If one of these things goes off inside of Iran after it has done it, the rest of the nation of Iran will feel the tremors because it probably will feel like about a 4.5 earthquake has happened. And the United States now has five of those to carry out multiple missions at the same time. And there's more B-2s than there are key defensive bases for the Iranian nuclear program, so they have more than sufficient to carry on multiple sorties against Iran. When President Trump talking about that they would be bombed like nobody else has ever been bombed, he was not kidding, and he was not exaggerating at all. The U.S. CENTCOM general, the guy who's really in charge of all the military forces in the Middle East, he is now visiting Israel, and he's discussing, quote, all the strategic issues of the Middle East with the IDF chief, with the IDF, and they're not just talking about the Houthis and dealing with missiles coming out of them toward Israel, and they're not just talking about Gaza and what's going on with that. I'm pretty certain they're talking about Iran and Hezbollah and all the other forces that are around the region of Israel that are harassing Israel. And I'm pretty certain that they're probably coordinating that if the president calls for the trigger to be pulled on Iran, Israel will have part of the activity to go along with it, as well as the United States. And I'm pretty certain that they're probably talking about, if you're going to do this, don't do it piecemeal. We're going to take it completely out, and we're not going to be playing this game again in another couple of years. They're probably trying to figure out how to end this matter in one fell swoop. I would remind you that Trump sent his letter off to Khamenei and advised him that he needed to negotiate their nuclear program. And at first, Khamenei said that he would not negotiate with the U.S., would not have direct conversations with the U.S. about it. But then we hear a little bit later on, he's offering indirect negotiations going through intermediaries. Well, that's being perceived simply as a delaying tactic to fend off the letter, the other part of the letter, which said if you don't start negotiating, then the military option is what's going to be used, namely they're going to be bombed. So right now, Iran is trying to set up the little delay game, and the U.S. is fending that off at the moment. When exactly is this deadline on this letter? We're still not quite certain of it. At the outside, I'd say the end of April. So this month, we're looking for what could be that activity. And given the military assets that are in the region, the fact that the general is over there visiting Israel at the moment, all of the military logistics preparations appear to be taking place that we're going to have some activity with Iran sometime in this month. So for a moment, let's talk about if there's going to be an attack on Iran, what will that look like, and what are the concerns? First of all, let's talk about the concern about hitting Iran, because Iran can do some things that the U.S. and Israel is going to have to deal with. Iran still has several hundred ballistic missiles, and they have threatened to launch all of them at Israel should they be attacked. Now, whether or not they could get them all off and whether or not they could get them launched is a whole other question, but the fact is, they do have those missiles. They could be launched, and Iran in the past has done that. And that was very difficult for Israel to deal. There was a massive anti-missile defense that was put up by the U.S. and Israel. Those forces are there to assist and help with that, for certain, but that's a threat, a very viable threat coming from Iran. Number two is that Iran has built an underground network, a series of bunkers where they hide their mobile launchers and store their missiles throughout Iran. The idea being is that they can service those launchers and service those missiles, whether they drive out of this underground bunker, move over to a particular region, point the missile up, launch, and then scurry back to get into an underground facility. Now, they've built a whole network of that kind of thing. And so they have built the defensive network they think will protect their missile forces against Israel, which is probably true. It does defend against Israel, but it does not defend against the United States. That may be the reason why we have a number of B-2 bombers in the area, because they would more than be capable of taking out all of those underground bases that where that equipment is stored. Steps to win is that the U.S. is going to have to take those underground facilities out. They'll have to destroy the launchers. They'll have to destroy their missiles. So if they get into a fight with them, they're going to have to plan on taking them all out, besides the nuclear sites that they have. Another issue with Iran is that they have a larger number of short-range missiles that can be launched at U.S. bases in the Middle East. And the United States has multiple military bases, Navy bases, Air Force bases, and so forth, all through the Persian Gulf and through the Middle East. They don't have massive air defense protection. If there was a sudden, incredible barrage of missiles coming at those bases, they would be subject to that attack, unless air defenses can be brought in and ships that are in the nearby area can offer protection, as well as aircraft sent up to help provide protection as well. Both of those are large-scale defensive operations. Inevitably, in those kinds of things, some of the stuff can get through. So how much damage is the U.S. willing to take to pull off such an attack? Now, the advantages to U.S. and Israel in carrying out such attack is right now the analysis is that this is the optimum time to take out the Iranian nuclear program. If they delay any further, then they fear Iran will have the weapon built. That changes the equation completely. They have to do it before Iran builds a weapon. Furthermore, Iran has a weakened air defense system. Most of it was shot up by Israel in the last set of air raids that they had. And the B-2s obviously have the capability to take out the nuke sites, so that's an advantage. Cruise missiles from those surface ships, as well as from aircraft, can take out command and control areas, Republican Guard bases, Navy bases, sink their Navy, take out their entire military support structure, take out their power stations, their oil refineries, and their oil transfer stations, and we're probably talking about the first strikes in the first 48 hours. Now, as to whether or not the U.S. wants to take out all that infrastructure for the nation or not is still yet to be determined, because they may be looking for regime change in Iran. If they can hit them hard enough, maybe they can support an uprising of the people and they can change the government inside of Iran and turn around to be seeking peace. But the main power of the U.S. at the moment in dealing with Iran, the way it's stacked up at the moment, the U.S. has the overwhelming capability right now to carry on a massive bombing campaign in Iran. Such has never been seen, and even beyond anything we've seen in World War II and Vietnam. Primarily, the U.S. attack is going to be supported by Israel. I'm pretty certain that Israel will vie and say, we want to be the first aircraft penetrating their airspace, and that Israel wants to take the attack to Iran first. I'm certain that the U.S. will probably allow them to do that. So that's what's in the offing. That's what the analysts are saying they're anticipating could be happening here. It's going to be one heck of a firepower show, and it's very possible that we could see the biggest shift in Middle East tensions that we've seen in our lifetime, turning Iran around from the direction they've been going. Here's the latest news on what's going on in Gaza. The IDF has put three full divisions of the IDF into the region, one in the northern part, one in the middle, and one down in the south. Gaza City in the north, for the most part, has been evacuated. Rafah in the south, the big city in the south, is being evacuated. And what the IDF strategy is that they're clearing out the civilians from these zones. And in the process of doing that, there's dozens of Palestinians and Hamas terrorists that have been killed because they're opening up those areas to full airstrikes, tank attacks, artillery, drones, troops, And as I mentioned to you, a lot of forces are in there, and they're clearing those zones out. They're going in, they're finding weapons caches, finding other rockets and missiles that were found, and taking out small centers of Hamas control in those regions. But they're also doing something else. They're cutting new corridors through the middle of the Gaza Strip, isolating parts of the Gaza so that a Palestinian can't move from the south to the middle to the north, and therefore they can't be moving hostages, and Hamas can't be being in one place and escaping to another. They're isolating each area so that the Hamas can't move and stay right where they're at. And at the same time, there's a number of Palestinian families that have signed up to evacuate Gaza. Israel is helping them to do it. Multiple Palestinian families are escaping from Gaza right now, flying out of Eilat, going into other nations to escape from the Gaza. Obviously, there's still Palestinians inside of Gaza protesting against Hamas. That started up about a week ago. Those protests are still happening, but Hamas is now attempting to stop it. In fact, this last week, one protest leader was in public, shot to death. Another one was captured, hooked to a back of a car, and then drugged through the streets to his home and left dead at his home. So Hamas is putting on the terror tactics, even within the Palestinians, to try to break the fact that the Palestinian people are telling Hamas to get out. And they're demanding that Hamas surrender and leave the Gaza Strip so the Palestinians can stay where they're at. Now, you're not going to hear a lot of those reports in the press, because quite honestly, that's completely different from the narrative that the Western press wants to tell you about what's going on in Gaza. They want Hamas and the Palestinians, of course, to be the victims, subject to the tyranny of the Israelis and the IDF. But the fact of the matter is, at this particular moment, Hamas, whom we've been talking to, has the spirit of Amalek. They have the spirit to kill anyone and everyone, including their next-door neighbors and fellow Palestinians. So that's where we're at with the Gaza and what's been done there. Oh, by the way, you'll be happy to know that Hamas rejected the latest U.S. and Israel proposal for hostage release. And this is a choice little piece of information I'm sure you'll all be excited to hear. Turkey, the nation of Turkey, has decided to assist Hamas in their coordination of attacks against Israel coming out of Samaria. However, the good news is that right now, the IDF's efforts in Samaria have severely taken back all of the Hamas and terrorists, and the activity coming out of those regions has slowed dramatically, and they continue to put pressure on them to root them all out and get them out of there. You should continue to pray for Israel, but we're starting to see a few of the military operations finally taking effect. Hopefully, we're going to see Hamas leave Gaza and surrender. We'll see the Houthis surrender, and we'll see whatever Iran is going to do get taken care of as well. All of those would be positive changes for the entire Middle East. Thank you for viewing this program. We love to have your likes, your comments, your subscribing to our YouTube channel. Join us on lionandlamb.tv, our subscription service. We have Yavo Magazine, which is free for you to have a subscription to. All you have to do is contact the ministry. Join us on our podcast network of Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Pandora, wherever you get your podcasts at, we're there. You can also find us on X, Telegram, TikTok, Facebook, and Instagram. We're all over the place. So Passover is next week. We want to wish you a very happy Passover. Enjoy the matzah for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And we'll see you next week with our unleavened bread. Shabbat Shalom.